Ramsey TV.
Satan is the master of deception, and he has built a religion. He has built a system that is agreeable to humans, that is beautiful to humans, that humans like because they get affirmation from one another. And as Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says that in the last days, you know, people will want their hearing tickled, and they will heap up teachers in accord with their own desires, and they will be turned aside to myths. Eternal torment is a myth. Human free will, which states that it is not finished, and you must finish it yourself by some miraculous act of will, and if you don't, you will be burned for eternity in spite of the fact that that man on the cross said it is finished. How is that even possible? Because the adversary we are dealing with is a mastermind of deception. And I'm shocked at it every day. I'm shocked anew every day at how slick and pervasive and so convincing the deception is. So that even I myself see this system, and I see how inviting it is, and I see how the invitation is going out, and how the love bombing hits you, and how it's an affirming community. And people tell me over and over again, Martin, I go to church because it's a social event. I want to be with my friends. Join a bowling league. You're going to a place where Satan has designated as the headquarters where from which he will push out the most heinous lies that have ever been concocted that deny the success of the cross, that deny that God is love, that deny that it is finished. But the people in it don't seem to mind. They don't seem to mind that God is maligned, that he's basically, in essence, called a liar, a sinner, and a failure. They don't seem to mind it. I can't figure out why they don't mind it. The only thing I can figure out is they really don't have a heart to know God, A, and if they didn't know him, to defend him, and to be hurt when the God of love is said to be the inventor of eternal torment. When the God of ability is said to be the God who leaves the last part of it up to you as he stands aside and waits to see what you're going to do. It's a shock. It's a shock to me. Now remember, as I'm saying all this, you're listening to a guy who believes in the salvation of all humanity. And yet, right now, of course, the salvation of all humanity, as Paul says in 1 Timothy 2:6, 1 Corinthians 15, this thing happens in the fullness of time, right? It doesn't happen all at once. As an animal are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified, yet each in his own class. 1 Corinthians 15:21 and 22. 1 Timothy 2:6, Christ is the ransom for all. The testimony in its own ears. It happens eventually. In the meantime, we are stuck temporarily in what Paul calls in Galatians 1:4, the current wicked eon. Ladies and gentlemen, we are living in the most wicked time period that there's ever been. And it's not because of the crime rate. It's not because of the politics. It's not because of wars. It's not because of famine. It's not because of death. It's because that this is an era in which the lies about God and his son have flourished beyond any human's expectation. The lies of against God and his son are entrenched so that there is hardly a human being on the earth who is not inadvertently involved in demon worship. Demon worship. We think that demons are being worshipped by people who cut themselves and sacrifice babies. Demon worship is happening in far more innocuous places than that. Satan, here's the key, here's the critical thing. This is a shocking verse. Never saw it in my whole official religious career. Never saw this verse. Paul says, the man who has insight into this. And I can only believe what I'm telling you, the shocking news that might be horrifying to some, because it's written in the scripture. It says, Satan is disguised as a messenger of light, and his minions are disguised as apostles of Christ. Think about that. I'm not making that up. That was not always Satan's tactic. Because if you go back to Job, how did Satan get Job? Frontal attacks. Going to kill his family, going to wreck his business, going to wreck his health. What does Job do? Turns to God. Satan's, wow, that didn't work out as I planned. God uses that as an object lesson to, through the ages, teach all of us of the purpose of evil. That God redeems evil. But that was Satan in plan A. Then came the cross. Everything changed for Satan. Then came the cross. And again, as I said, the cross was so obvious, so there, so in your face, that he had to have a new plan now. And it was no longer a frontal attack plan. It was a deception plan. And so we are in the midst of this thing. And so it is a shock when I say that most of the lovely Americans, lovely people that we know, and I'm not even blaming the people, you see, but they're all caught up in demon worship. Because Paul says that they're worshiping a different Jesus, also in the same passage. They're worshiping a different Jesus. I didn't make up that phrase either. When I saw that, a different Jesus, what do you mean a different Jesus? There's only one Jesus. No, not true. They're worshiping another Jesus, a different Jesus. Well, was he cloned? How are they worshiping another Jesus? It's because there has been created another Jesus who looks like Jesus, smells like Jesus, talks like Jesus, intones like Jesus, and yet it's a fake Jesus. It's a Jesus that's the failure. It's a Jesus that tried to save but couldn't. It's a Jesus who said it is finished, but it's really not. That's the false Jesus. Almost the entire world is worshiping that false Jesus. Shocking. And it is a miracle. I'm telling you this, and you can thank God. It is a miracle of titanic proportions if you have been shown the error. Because the error is so hypnotizing. It's so all-encompassing, it's so vast, it's so beautiful, it's so sweet, that it takes an act of God to escape it. And if you are here, everyone here, most people here, I don't know if everyone, but I know most of you, you were in an organized religion because your parents took you there. I was taken to the Catholic Church. I was baptized as a baby in the Catholic Church. I was taken to the false tabernacle, but God called us out. God called us out and he showed us the truth and he took us aside and he took us with a perspective and he took us to the side of the cross over here and he said, I have built this. God's, I have built this falseness. I use Satan to do it. All is of God, but he uses Satan to do this. God, why have you done it? Why have you built this falsehood? Why have you done this thing that tricks so many people, that makes so many people think they're worshiping the true Jesus, but they're actually worshiping a different Jesus? Why did you do that? That's a great question. Here's the only answer I've been able to come up with. And I have scriptural backing for it. It's in 2 Thessalonians, I believe. God sends them an operation of deception for them to believe the lie so that all may be judged who do not love the truth. God sends them, quoting scripture, God sends them an operation of deception for them to believe the lie. Why? So that all may be judged who do not love the truth. And I tell you this, that those who step toward the false tabernacle do not love the truth. They love what they tell me they love, the fellowship, the social aspect. Because if they loved the truth, when they heard the truth, they would respond. I and others state the truth, that God is the sovereign of the universe. Jesus Christ was indeed a successful Savior. I'm declaring the words of God. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we are heralding the conciliation of the world, how that God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself and is giving to us the ministry of the conciliation. And now Paul says we are heralding, quote, as of God entreating through us. Those of us who understand that God has made peace with the world through the cross, we are heralding this. And it is as God entreating through us. And so when our testimony is rejected, those who are rejecting it, who do not love the truth, they're rejecting God. That's a bold thing to say, but I didn't make it up. I did not plan to say any of what I just said. These are my notes. I haven't gone to them once, and I don't know why. Except that, I guess something that happened last night just brought something out of me, and I think it's important, and it's potentially earth-shattering, it's potentially friend-losing, it's potentially kick you out of my lifing, whatever. But it doesn't matter, does it? Because in the end, who wants the truth? How bad do you want the truth? Here's something else God has done, and I should close with this. God has purposely mistranslated the scriptures. He has purposely built this false front, this false tabernacle. Why in the world? He states it. So that they may be judged who do not love the truth. And there will be those who will stand at the great white throne. The judgment that occurs after the 1,000 years when the dead, the great and the small, stand before God. And God will say to them, and remember, I'm a guy who believes in the salvation of all, so don't panic here, okay? Don't panic here. There are people I know that will be standing at the great white throne who will have missed the 1,000 years because they didn't love the truth. And God will say to them, you did not love the truth. And they will say to God, what do you mean? I went to church, I listened to my preacher, I did all these things, and God said, you did not love the truth. And they'll say, why do you say that? And I'm paraphrasing God now, please indulge me here. God will say, roll the tape. And that tape will show them listening to you present the truth. That tape will show them listening to this video. That tape will show them facing a line of it is finished or it is not finished. And because the it is not finished part was the popular thing, because the tabernacle was the easy thing, because it was the broad way. It is the broad way that leads to destruction. And at that point, they will say, you mean that was the truth? Yeah. That stupid person, that stupid sender who made that video from his kitchen that you laughed at and you thought, why should I listen to a guy in his kitchen who only has 400 views? That was the truth? That was the truth. But you didn't listen to that guy because he was in his kitchen? Because he didn't have 10 million views? Because he wasn't accredited? because he didn't have a Master of Divinity degree, because he wasn't on television. Boy, somehow I feel a kinship with Jesus Christ, who did not have a Master of Divinity degree, who was not on television, who did not have over 200 views on YouTube, and who had no reputation whatsoever. Do you know why Christians love Jesus Christ today? Because he's famous. He's famous. Do you think that those who love the institution today would gravitate toward him then? Of course we would, they say. No freaking way. Because today I am the representation of Jesus Christ and his word, and so are you. And we are speaking in his stead the words of truth. And we today, in 2019, are just as unlikely. Heralds were just as improbably spokespeople for God as Jesus Christ was in the first century. He wasn't famous in the first century. They never would have gravitated toward him because they go for the famous. They go for the 100,000 views on YouTube, the million views on YouTube, the television, the music, the sound, the laughter, the fun, the donuts, the coffee. None of that with Jesus in the first century. None of that with us. History repeats itself. We're living it out. This concludes my remarks for this evening. Thank God. I didn't even break a sweat. Do you know why? Because I'm completely comfortable telling you what I just told you. I should be sweating bullets up here because of what I said and the shock of it and the potential damage it does to people's opinion of me, whether people like me or not, but I don't care. Because you can either gain your soul now and enjoy the tailwind of the world's most popular religion, or you can lose your soul and join the most unlikely, infamous appearing message, which is the truth. That God is the Savior of all humanity, that he sent his Son to save the world, that it worked, he was successful, God is sovereign, he's in control of everything from beginning to end, he wrote the script from the beginning, all the evil has been planned, all the heartache has been planned, the sin of Adam was planned, nothing was an accident, it was all on purpose to prepare people for deliverance. Romans 11:32. God locks up all together in stubbornness that he should have mercy on all. A five-year-old can understand that verse. A five-year-old. God locks up all together in stubbornness. I realize that's a shock, but it's simple. It's hard to believe, but it's not hard to believe because it's complicated. It's hard to believe because it goes against everything we've been taught. God locks up all together in stubbornness. That takes away the responsibility of the human for locking up himself or herself in stubbornness. Simple verse. But here comes the cloud machine, the fog machine, the dry ice. Satan's rolling the dry ice in front of that one. You don't want to see that verse. Come over here. You don't want to see that verse. He can't change it, but he can keep you from going there. He can give you a ticket to another building. Oh, no, you don't want to see this. You don't want to see this. He's a liar. Can't do anything to change it. Nothing. But he can put the big scary face up and get the scary voice machine going. He can scare the crap out of you. He's a liar. And he's working his biggest lies in organized religion, especially the Christian one, who has put the name of Christ upon this monstrosity of salvation by human willpower and eternal torment for those who are not willing of their own free will to receive Christ. I said I had concluded my remarks. I guess I hadn't. But now I think I have. I feel...
Thank you.
I didn't mention this ahead of time, I want to show everybody, because I want everybody to see that nobody left. I want to be like, it's a shock. Nobody left. Everybody that was here at the beginning is here at the end. And so I think that's a small miracle. I'm thankful for it. You'll never hear things I said anywhere else. I mean, not in the organized religion, that's for sure. But this is a gift of God for you.